Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we come together on this morning to celebrate and worship the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just a reminder that next Sunday we will be worshiping in the chapel for our summer worship. We'll be worshiping there throughout the summer, so please know that next Sunday that's where we will be. I always love being here in the sanctuary, but I also love to be cool in the sun in the summer. So we will be nice and cool and comfortable as we begin our worship in the chapel next Sunday. Also, please keep on your calendar. I know we've mentioned this before, but would love to see everybody out for our church picnic on June the 29th at the Burlholm Park. As stated before, we always have a wonderful time out there, wonderful time of fellowship and fun and just being together. So that's going to be on the 29th from 12 to 4. Please come and join us in having a wonderful time in the Lord. There are, of course, other things that will be going on through the summer here at Alney Presbyterian Church, so please make sure that you read your bulletin. Also, go to our church webpage so that you can stay abreast of all that is happening here at Alney Presbyterian Church.
Our gospel reading today is taken from Mark chapter 2, verse 23, and Mark chapter 3, verse 6. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry? He and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God when Abiathar was high priest and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Again he entered the synagogue, and a man was there who had a withered hand, and they watched him to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who had the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. This is the word of the Lord.
I don't know about you this morning, but every time I hear this story that Lisa just read, my sympathies are always a little bit with the Pharisees. I understand very much their desire to want to protect the Sabbath, to want to protect the holy things of God. After all, the Sabbath is one of the big ones, one of the Ten Commandments. We all remember it, the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And so I understand why the Pharisees are concerned about the Sabbath. I know that Jesus and his disciples didn't mean any harm, but you can't be too careful. Today, it might be just plucking a few heads of grain, but tomorrow there's going to be movie theaters and sporting events and restaurants and shopping centers that people want to attend on the Sabbath. And before you know it, the Sabbath is going to be just another day, just an ordinary day, another work day. So I'm very sympathetic to the Pharisees. Maybe it's just the pastor in me to be a little bit jealous, a little bit concerned for the Sabbath. When I was an assistant pastor in Atlanta, I used to cut through Decatur Square on my way to church on Sunday mornings, and The little ritzy shops and restaurants would already be open early in the morning. They would already be filled with people eating brunch, listening to bands, playing music, having an overall good time. And I would say to myself, what's wrong with these people? It's Sunday morning. They should all be in church. Or at the very least, these establishments should be closed. No work, no work on the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I still find my blood pressure rising a little bit whenever I hear a lawnmower on Sunday mornings. I want to holler out the window, you had 6 days. 6 days to cut your grass, 6 days to attend to your lawn, and you wait till the Sunday. I long for those days in the long ago when the session would appoint special elders to go out and make sure the people weren't working on Sunday mornings when you were supposed to be in church. At least that was the practice in the South many, many years ago, because it was important that everyone understood that no work, no work on the Sabbath. Keep it holy. The Sabbath, of course, has its rootage in the story of creation, the book of Genesis. God created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day God just kind of kicked back and rested and took it in. It was all finished. God had finished with creation, and so the seventh day was a day of rest. We all need that. We all need rest. We all need to take a break from the hustle and bustle and busyness of our lives. And so God gave us the Sabbath. But the Sabbath was also rooted in something else. It was also rooted in liberation. You'll remember the ancient Hebrews were slaves in Egypt. And as slaves, they had to work 24/7. Whenever Pharaoh wanted something, the Israelites had to work to supply it 24/7. And Pharaoh, of course, was always wanting something. He was a consummate consumer. There was no end to the things that he wanted. If Pharaoh wanted bricks, then the Israelites had to supply him bricks. If Pharaoh wanted grain, they had to work overtime to make sure that Pharaoh had grain. Whatever Pharaoh wanted, they had to supply it. And so the Israelites had to work 24/7 as slaves in Egypt. But when the Lord liberated his people, he reminded them. He said, you were once slaves. Once you were slaves, once you had to work 24/7, but now I'm going to give you one day to remember that you're no longer slaves, one day to remember that you belong to me and not the Pharaoh, one day for you to take a rest from all the things that might enslave you. And not only are you to rest, but your servants are to rest, your animals are to rest. Everything is to take a rest. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Keep it set apart. And so the Sabbath was this wonderful gift that God had given to his people for their flourishing, for the enhancement of their lives. So I can understand why the Pharisees want to protect it this morning. But have you ever noticed how we human beings have a tendency to take a wonderful gift and turn it into kind of a prison? That's what the Pharisees had done with the Sabbath. They devised all of these rules and regulations concerning what you could do and what you could not do on the Sabbath. You could only walk a certain distance on the Sabbath. To walk any longer was considered to be work. You couldn't pluck any grain on the Sabbath, no matter how hungry you were, because it was considered to be work. You couldn't even heal someone on the Sabbath because it was considered to be work. And before long, this wonderful gift that God had given to his people became an iron cage. An iron cage that had imprisoned and stunted their humanity and their compassion. And so Jesus reminds the Pharisees that human beings, he says, were not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for human beings. The Sabbath was about flourishing and orienting people towards God. And what better day? What better day could there be for addressing human need? What better day could there be for healing? What better day could there be for addressing human hunger? Of course, this isn't just the Pharisees' problem, but it's a human problem. We always want to subordinate human beings to other things that we deify, things that we want to protect, things that we believe take precedence over human beings. I was watching a program the other day, and they were talking about the economy and how to address some of the problems with the economy and with the market. And somebody had put forth a proposal, and one of the other panelists on the program said, "No, you can't do that. We can't do that because that would be an intervention into the market, and we shouldn't intervene into the market. You got to let the market be the market." And I wanted to say to the television that human beings were not made for the market. Human beings were not made for the economy. The market and the economy were made for human beings. What matters is that we do what we do to help enhance human flourishing. Have you ever noticed that often the things that prevent us from being compassionate and caring and loving are the very things that we often hold dear? The very things that we want to protect, our cherished convictions, our values, our traditions, our worship practices, our rituals. We can become so intent on protecting these things that they often blind us to the real needs and concerns of people around us. Of course, I confess this morning that our Sunday mornings are not really Sabbaths. Sunday morning and what we do on Sundays is considered the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. The resurrection day, the day that God's people gathered to celebrate the resurrection, the day that God's people gathered to fellowship and to worship God and to enjoy a meal with each other. They often did. They did all of that in anticipation of the day when the Lord would come again and to celebrate the new creation. But it became too a kind of a Sabbath, a way of liberating ourselves and releasing ourselves from the hustle and bustle of the world around. But still we find ways of devising do's and don'ts and rules and regulations, even around the Lord's Day, even around what we do on Sunday mornings. When I was young growing up, one of the ways you kind of kept the Sabbath holy was not only going to church, but also wearing your best. You wore your best shoes, your best suit, your best clothes. It was a day set apart from all other days, so you were supposed to dress up. That was one of the unspoken rules. But I remember several years ago talking to a woman. She was an elderly woman at the time, and she said, you know, when I was a child, we never went to church. Even though there was a church just right down the street, we always wanted to go to the church. We always wanted to be regular attenders, but we never went to the church. And I asked, why? Why didn't you go to the church? It was just right down the street. Why? And she said, well, because the people were always dressed so nicely. And we were poor growing up, and we didn't have any nice clothes, and oftentimes we didn't have any clean clothes, and we were never presentable, and we always just felt out of place. We always felt that people looked down on us whenever we attended, and so we just stopped going. We didn't want to go. And I thought, what a sad commentary on us. Human beings were not made for church, but church was made for human beings. Church was a fellowship that God had instituted for us human beings to learn what it meant to worship God, to praise God, and to love one another. But we had turned it, we become adept at turning it into a prison that often stunts our humanity and our compassion for others. At issue here in our text this morning, of course, is compassion. Jesus has this compassion for people, a compassion that often disturbs the sensibilities of the religious leaders. Compassion is what the Pharisees don't have. They're good people, learned people, religious people. They worship regularly. They do all things right, but they don't have any compassion when it comes to protecting their religious traditions. They stop having any compassion for the people around them. And how often we do the same. Shikagi Mori was only 8 years old when the atomic bomb fell on his city, killing 140,000 of his compatriots. He survived, of course, and later became somewhat of an amateur historian, chronicling some of the events associated with that wartime tragedy. But over the years, he came to discover a little known fact that there were 12 Americans who had also perished in the dropping of that atomic bomb. They were prisoners of war there in Japan. But he became enamored by them. He became obsessed by them. Who were these young Americans so far away from home, prisoners in a foreign land? What were they? What were their names? Were they frightened? Were they scared? Who were they? And so for the next several decades, it became an obsession with him to get to know who they were. He wanted to know their names. He wanted to know about their lives. He wanted to know about their families. And so he undertook a four-decade journey learning about them, getting to know them, getting to know the people who cared about them and who loved them and their families. And of course, many of his fellow compatriots, many of the people in Japan that he came in contact with said, why are you spending so much time being concerned about these 12 POWs? After all, they were enemies. They were our enemies during the war. Why do you care? You should care more about Japanese. But he had this compassion. This compassion for these 12 young POWs who were killed in war so far away from home. A compassion that transcended nationality, that transcended all the barriers that we often like to erect. Often we've lost our compassion for people. The Pharisees, of course, were good people. As I stated, they weren't bad people. And Jesus doesn't say you guys are wrong, the Sabbath is no longer warranted. He doesn't say anything like that. In fact, I agree with one of the commentators I read this week, Debbie Thomas, she said that the Pharisees were not wrong to uphold the Sabbath. They were absolutely right. But rightness is not love. Rightness is not compassion. Rightness will never get us to Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath. Only compassion will do that. And how much we need to remember that. You and I have been given this wonderful gift. We've been given the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been given the gift of the gospel, the good news. And yet how easy it is for us sometimes to take that good news, to take that wonderful, beautiful gift and turn it into a prison, turn it into a weapon, turn it into something to beat people over the head with, turn it into a list of do's and don'ts. But Jesus says that he is the Lord. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of our lives. He is the Lord of the whole world. Jesus is Lord. He is the fulfillment of the Sabbath. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is about flourishing. He is about healing. He is about love. That's what Jesus is about. And that's what he calls us, his people, to be about too. We can become enamored with the rules and regulations that we've devised. And I've seen a lot of it. We can become preoccupied with our doctrines. We can become preoccupied with the way we worship. We can become preoccupied with the color of the carpet. We can become preoccupied with what kind of hymns we sing. We can become preoccupied with what kind of music we play. But Jesus says the most important thing, the thing that is most holy, is human flourishing. And so the most important thing is love. Loving your neighbor, loving each other. Because that's the great gift that God has given to you through his Son. As we read last week, God so loved the world that he gave his Son. And so that's the gift that we have this morning. The gift of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Don't turn it into a prison. Don't turn it into something to beat people over the head with. It's interesting that at the end of this passage that we're told that the Pharisees and the Herodians, the political leaders, decided that they wanted to kill Jesus. He didn't do anything wrong. All he did was heal the man whose hand needed to be healed. If I was there, I would have said, "Hallelujah, praise God, Jesus, just healed this man's hand. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a wonderful thing?" But instead, we are told that they wanted to kill him. And they undertook to do just that. It's a warning to all of us how easily we can let our traditions, how easily we can even let our religious commitments redound in our hearts to violence and hatred and debasing others. But this morning we are called to remember the Sabbath. Remember the holy. Remember what's holy. What's holy in our lives. Remember the holiness of God's love. The holiness of God's Son. The holy purpose of flourishing and healing. And Jesus says, "That's what I'm about. I am the Lord. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. I am the Lord of all." And when we are in him, when we are loving and caring and being compassionate towards others, we are keeping the Sabbath holy. Let us pray. Gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks this morning. We thank you for all that you have given us, for the wonderful gifts that you have given us, the gift of your word, the gift of your Son, the gift of your church, all the wonderful gifts that we are sometimes tempted to make cages, to stunt our own humanity. But you have reminded us this morning that we are called to be people whose highest priority is having love and compassion for others, because that's what you had for all of us, for the whole world. Your love and compassion to call us, to redeem us, and to set us free. We ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.